So let's read together then 1 Kings 22, 1 through 9. In this chapter, 1 Kings 22, we have Ahab's final battle with the Syrians. And in verses 1 through 9, we read of his request that King Jehoshaphat of Judah join him in this battle. 1 Kings 22, verse 1. Now 3 years passed without war between Syria and Israel. Then it came to pass in the third year that Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, went down to visit the king of Israel. And the king of Israel said to his servants, "Do you know that Ramoth in Gilead is ours? But we hesitate to take it out of the hand of the king of Syria." So he said to Jehoshaphat, "Will you go with me to fight at Ramoth Gilead?" And Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, "I am as you are, my people as your people, my horses as your horses." And Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, "Please inquire for the word of the Lord today." Then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400 men, and said to them, "Shall I go against Ramoth Gilead to fight, or shall I remain?" So they said, "Go up, for the Lord will deliver it into the hand of the king." And Jehoshaphat said, "Is there not still a prophet of the Lord here that we may inquire of him?" So the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, "There is still one man, Micaiah, the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him, because he does not prophesy good concerning me, but evil." And Jehoshaphat said, "Let not the king say such things." Then the king of Israel called an officer and said, "Bring Micaiah, the son of Imlah, quickly." All right, let's consider some background notes, first of all. In 1 Kings chapter 20, we read about two battles that the nation of Israel under King Ahab fought with Syria under King Ben-Hadad. God graciously gave the victory in both cases to Israel. But even so, King Ahab did not acknowledge the Lord in either case. In fact, he wrongfully made a treaty with the enemy, King Ben-Hadad, and granted him amnesty. Well, from verse 3 here, it looks like Ben-Hadad has reneged on the treaty. The city of Ramoth Gilead, that would be in the territory of Gad on the east side of the Jordan River, that city is still in Syrian hands. Ahab should have known better than to make a treaty with this pagan king. So King Ahab decided to go out and regain this territory by fighting for it. He asked King Jehoshaphat of Judah to go with him. Now, Jehoshaphat was one of the good kings of Judah. But here, Jehoshaphat makes a mistake by joining wicked King Ahab. In verse 5, good King Jehoshaphat said to King Ahab, "Please inquire for the word of the Lord today." In other words, Jehoshaphat wanted to be sure that this was God's will. So Ahab gathered 400 prophets together and asked them in verse 6, "Shall I go against Ramoth Gilead to fight, or shall I refrain?" Now, where did these prophets come from anyway? These 400 prophets? Well, they were false prophets, to be sure. These false prophets all say, verse 6, "Go up, for the Lord will deliver it into the hand of the king." Well, King Jehoshaphat is not convinced. He wants to hear what a real prophet of the Lord has to say. Well, reluctantly, King Ahab sends for Micaiah, the son of Imlah, a true prophet of the Lord. And that brings us to our doctrinal point from this first section of 1 Kings 22. The doctrinal point is this: the unbelieving world hates believers because of their message of truth. The unbelieving world hates believers because of their message of truth. Look at verse 8 once again. So the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, "There is still one man, Micaiah, the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him." Now note the reason: because he does not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. Ahab's trying to be religious here, but he only wants to hear what he wants to hear. He hates Micaiah because of Micaiah's message of truth. It's the same way today. The unbelieving world hates believers because of their message of truth. Remember, the Lord Jesus said in John 15 and verse 18 that the world will hate you because it hated me. Why? Because the message of truth involves God's judgment. God's judgment on sin. God's judgment on sinners. And there's only one way of escape. Salvation in Christ. The unbelieving world doesn't want to hear that. The unbelieving world hates believers because of their message of truth. You don't try to be hated, but the unbeliever does not like the message. And therefore, the unbelieving world hates believers because of their message of truth. Practical application. Don't make foolish alliances. Don't make foolish alliances. Look at what good King Jehoshaphat says to wicked King Ahab there in verse 4. I am as you are, my people as your people, my horses as your horses. What kind of talk is that for a godly king? We know it was wrong because in the parallel passage in 2 Chronicles chapter 19 and verse 2, we read of a prophet of the Lord who confronted Jehoshaphat after the battle. And here's what he said. 2 Chronicles 19, verse 2. Should you help the wicked and love those who hate the Lord? Therefore, the wrath of the Lord is upon you. So there's no question here that Jehoshaphat made a foolish alliance. It was wrong. What a lesson for us. Don't make foolish alliances. Jehoshaphat here is a picture of a Christian who blindly, naively, stupidly walks into a situation which is clearly declared in the Word of God to be wrong. No, don't do it. Don't make this alliance. Don't make foolish alliances. For a believer to marry an unbeliever would be a foolish alliance. 2 Corinthians 6:14 clearly says, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Many Christians have made foolish alliances with unbelievers in business and have lived to regret it. I hope there's no one here in this audience this morning that is about to make a foolish alliance. The Word of God is clear. Don't make foolish alliances. Let's read the next section, verses 10 through 18. In this section, we have Micaiah's prophecy that Israel would be defeated and Ahab would be killed. 1 Kings 22, verse 10. The king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, having put on their robes, sat each on his throne at a threshing floor at the entrance of the gate of Samaria. And all the prophets prophesied before them. Now Zedekiah, the son of Kenaanah, had made horns of iron for himself. And he said, thus says the Lord, with these you shall gore the Syrians until they are destroyed. And all the prophets prophesied so, saying, go up to Ramoth-Gilead and prosper, for the Lord will deliver it into the king's hand. Then the messenger who had gone to call Micaiah spoke to him, saying, now listen, the words of the prophets with one accord encourage the king. Please let your word be like the word of one of them, and speak encouragement. And Micaiah said, as the Lord lives, whatever the Lord says to me, that I will speak. Then he came to the king, and the king said to him, Micaiah, shall we go up to war against Ramoth-Gilead, or shall we refrain? And he answered him, go and prosper, for the Lord will deliver it into the hand of the king. So the king said to him, how many times shall I make you swear that you will tell me nothing but the truth in the name of the Lord? Then he said, I saw all Israel scattered on the mountains as sheep that have no shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let each return to his house in peace. And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, did I not tell you that he would not prophesy good concerning me, but evil? Once again, a couple of background notes. In verse 10, we see Jehoshaphat and Ahab sitting on thrones at a threshing floor by the gate of Samaria. The false prophets were all there telling Ahab exactly what he wanted to hear. One false prophet is even doing a dramatic skit. Micaiah, the true prophet, is told, don't rock the boat, Micaiah. And so he's urged to say the same thing as the false prophets. So first of all, Micaiah speaks with irony. Oh yeah, go on up. You'll be victorious. Ahab detects the sarcasm and says, How many times shall I make you swear that you tell me nothing but the truth in the name of the Lord? So Micaiah tells him the truth. Verse 17, you're going to lose the battle. Israel will be scattered like sheep that have no shepherd. A definite prediction that Ahab would lose his life in this battle. Well, Ahab doesn't like what he hears. And that brings us to our doctrinal point for this section. And it's this. The unbeliever would rather feel good than hear the truth. The unbeliever would rather feel good than hear the truth. Ahab said to Micaiah, stop playing games with me. Tell me the truth. Okay, said Micaiah. You want to hear the truth? Here it is. You're going to lose. You're going to be defeated. You're going to lose your life. Look at Ahab's reaction there in verse 18. He turns to Jehoshaphat and says, did I not tell you that he would not prophesy good concerning me, but evil? In other words, I don't like the truth. I don't want to hear the truth. I'd rather feel good. You know, that's the way it is with unbelievers today. That's the way it's always been. The unbeliever would rather feel good than hear the truth. In Isaiah's day, the people were saying, don't prophesy to us right things. Speak to us smooth things. Prophesy deceits. That's Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 10. They wanted to hear smooth things or pleasant things. Prophesy deceits or illusions. The unbeliever would rather feel good than hear the truth. Many unbelievers will go to church, but they don't want to hear the truth. They want to hear what they want to hear. When the truth is preached that we are sinners, without Christ, we are doomed to hell, they switch churches. They go where they can feel good about themselves. The unbeliever would rather feel good than hear the truth. What about practical application? Watch out for the world's pressure to conform you to their way of thinking. Watch out for the world's pressure to conform you to their way of thinking. In verse 13, Micaiah is told, please let your word be like the word of one of them. And speak encouragement. They want to pressure Micaiah into their way of thinking. Don't rock the boat, Micaiah. Say it this way. Well, the same thing will happen today. The world, including the religious world, will try to pressure you into its own way of thinking. Romans 12:2 says, don't be conformed to this world. Or as the J.B. Phillips translation puts it, don't let the world around you squeeze you into its own mold. Well, praise the Lord, Micaiah resisted this pressure. Well, we must resist as well. Some Christians have not resisted. Many illustrations could be given here. There's always that pressure to be politically correct. Why do you think there are a number of Christians who hold to the theory of theistic evolution rather than creation? The Christians who hold to the theory of evolution do not do so on the basis of evidence. It's not there. These Christians have capitulated to the pressure to conform to this world's way of thinking. Watch out for the world's pressure to conform you to their way of thinking.